And on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilina, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. As far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As we now come near the end of our Advent preparation, as we meditated on the 4,000 years that the just of the Old Testament awaited the Savior, the promised Savior, according to the promises and prophecies of the prophets, we do well to meditate today on this particular aspect of prophecy. Again, the First Vatican Council told us, in order that the submission of our faith should be in accordance with reason, it was God's will that there should be linked to the internal assistance of the Holy Spirit external indications of his revelation. That is to say, divine acts, and first and foremost, miracles and prophecies, which clearly demonstrating as they do the omnipotence and infinite knowledge of God, are the most certain signs of revelation and are suited to the understanding of all. Obviously, you know of many of the miracles which we hear about generally in the Sunday Gospel, and those who shed their blood and gave their life for Christ, having nothing in this world but dying for him to obtain eternal life, give testimony to. So likewise, we do well to study the prophecies, as that's a theme of Advent that we've heard in many readings from the prophet Isaiah, for example, and likewise in what are known as the O Antiphons. These are seven special antiphons that we begin on December 17th and that we recite in Vespers of every day through the 23rd, and giving us a prophetic title of our Lord's coming. You know these colloquially through popular tradition by the hymn, Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That's a certain sort of rephrased translation, but using those same seven titles of our Lord as prophesied in the Old Testament. So let's appreciate this fact again, that as we hear in the Gospel today, as we get closer to Christmas and perhaps distracted by just the spirit of togetherness and giving, as if it were just some sort of sentimental moral, for example, that it's worth speaking of the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us, et verbum caro factum est, and that he was made flesh, made of a woman, in this particular time. Note the Gospel today is not just at that time, but at that specific time, when so-and-so was the ruler, etc., in this specific place that God entered into human history. And so, it was Blaise Pascal, the philosopher, who said that the fulfilling of all the prophecies is a perpetual miracle, and no other proof is required to make known the divinity of the Christian religion. Okay, so we're just going to consider a couple of the hundreds of references we see prophetically applied to our Lord and fulfilled in his life from the Old Testament. So on December 17th, we begin with the antiphon, O Sapientia, O Wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from one end to the other, mightily and sweetly ordering all things. Come and teach us the way of prudence. Okay, so wisdom as a prophetic title of our Lord. We see this in the book of wisdoms, the books of wisdom, that of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, as we call it, and the book of wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, where wisdom is presented as a person, both divine and with God, saying that I came out of the mouth of the Most High, the firstborn before all creatures. From the beginning and before the world was I created, and unto the world to come I shall not cease to be, and in the holy dwelling place I have ministered before him. So even in the Old Testament, we had a certain, though dimly, revelation of the Most Holy Trinity, that wisdom being God is also with God. And the reference to his creation, it refers to the fact that he will be the predestined Son of God incarnate here on earth, and that all creation will receive him as its crowning glory. And so we likewise read in the book of Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And Isaiah goes on to enumerate the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, in which we participate as members of Christ. And so we see all this obviously fulfilled in the Gospel. St. John begins his Gospel by summarizing all that wisdom, that in the beginning was the Word, Logos, wisdom, that was with God and was God. And so now that and has truly become flesh and dwelt amongst us, we ask that he teach us the way of prudence so that we direct all of our, as God from the beginning, before he created, had a plan for creation. So too, as we began Advent, thinking about the Last Judgment, it's likewise the most necessary virtue for our life. Where are we going? What is the meaning of life? Why did God create you? What would it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world but lost his own soul? Our only purpose here is to get to that one end, to save our soul and the souls of others for the glory of God. So we pray that he teach us the way of prudence. On the 18th, we prayed, O Adonai, and leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the fire of the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come and redeem us with an outstretched arm. Okay, first, we make reference to Moses, who himself was a type of Christ. Keep in mind that God can write with human events and human persons as men write with words, okay, by his divine omnipotence. And so Moses himself, whom they sought to kill and was rescued in Egypt, that he then led the people out of Egypt into the promised land, having received the law of God on the mount. So we see him as a prefigurement of Christ, whom Herod sought to kill, who was then rescued and taken to Egypt, and from Egypt then leads us to the heavenly promised land, who promulgated the new law on top of on his Sermon on the Mount, establishing the new and eternal covenant. And we see that that Moses himself had prophesied that there would come a prophet greater than him. And so that our Lord, they were expecting, that's what we heard last week, right, from St. John, are you the prophet? Are you Elias? Are you the prophet that was prophesied by Moses? And so, and likewise, we recall the miracles of the Exodus, God with his outstretched arm opening the waters through which now we pass in baptism, where the enemy of sin is laid waste. Likewise, the burning bush, which was burned but not consumed, a symbol of Our Lady's divine maternity, as in giving birth, no harm was done to her virginity. And it was likewise on that occasion that our Lord revealed his name. We say Adonai in this text, as that was the reverent manner of the Hebrews to refer to the holy name of Yahweh, I am who am, without mentioning that most holy name. And so, and what does that mean? But and then our Lord's name, of course, Yeshua, or Yeheshua, meaning taking that first part of Yah, meaning that the Lord, it is the Lord who saves. So that our Lord himself has come amongst us to save us, who told us before Abraham was, I am. And so we contemplate likewise on the 19th, O root of Jesse, standing as a sign among the peoples, before you kings will shut their mouths, to you the nations will make their prayer, come and deliver us and delay no longer. The root of Jesse obviously is a symbolism we attach to the Christmas tree, no? As the tree of Jesse, the father of David, from whom our Lord descends. And so We recall that that was prophesied, that a shoot shall, from the prophet Isaiah, a shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Even that word branch has the hidden meaning of a Nazarene. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Okay, so this prophecy that as our Lord is the son of Jesse, the father of David, and that he would be born, likewise, as the prophet Micah foretold, in the very town of David, in Bethlehem, when he wrote, "But thou, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And so we see then how this is prophesied, that our Lord would be the son of Jesse, the father of David. And then thus the next antiphon, "O key of David, clavis David, and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can shut, you shut and no one can open. Come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death." Okay? Here this reference to the key of David is very important, as obviously you've heard of the keys in the New Testament, right? Matthew 16:16, where our Lord says to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." How was that understood? It was already an office to receive the keys from the king, the anointed one of Israel. So all the apostles would have known what he was referring to. It's in Isaiah 22:22. That's a backdrop for Matthew 16:16. We hear that, speaking to his prime minister, his Albaim, "I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and no one shall shut. He shall shut, and no one shall open." And so we contemplate here how the Isaiah had likewise foretold, "His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore." Okay? You'll recall that the Temple of Jerusalem is destroyed, but the Catholic Church in its place now remains. And so there we contemplate too the power of the keys of St. Peter, as Pope Boniface VIII defined dogmatically, that it's absolutely necessary for salvation to be subject to the Roman Pontiff, that although one can always resist an unjust order, that there's only one church, and it's one in faith, sacraments, and governance, and then that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And by pertaining to that church under the Roman Pontiff, there we have the possibility of being saved, as outside of the church, there's no salvation. On the 21st, we pray, O Oriens, O rising sun, splendor of light eternal, and sun of righteousness, come and enlighten those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. This is a reference to the prophecy of Zacharias, who said that to the high priest, Joshua, or Yeshua, the same name as our Lord, "Thou and thy friends that dwell before thee, for they are portending men, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the Orient." And so the prophecy that the Orient would come. And this too is the, Isaiah had foretold too, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Okay, so that the Israelites were expecting this light from God. We see the star telling forth his coming. This was likewise prophesied in the book of Numbers, chapter 24. But even creation itself gives testimony, as now from the birth of our Lord, the light of days will begin to grow longer, our Lord being the light of the world. So we pray in the canticle of Zacharias too, and lauds every morning, as we wait for the sun of righteousness to shine upon us, to lead us in the path of salvation. Likewise, on the 22nd, we refer to our Lord in the antiphon, "O Rex Gentium, O King of the nations and their desire, the cornerstone making both one, come and save the human race which you fashioned from clay." Okay? So what are we contemplating here? O King of the nations, not just of the Gentiles, not just of the Israelites, as our Lord comes, not only as the son of David, the son of Abraham, but the son of Adam, right? As the new Adam, and whom he formed from clay. And so You'll see in St. Luke's genealogy, he traces it all the way back to Adam. He's referring to that our Lord's plan is to gather all of his sons of the human race into one universal Catholic Church. And likewise, note here, a king of the nations, the Israelites had a king, which was promised to them since the book of Genesis. Genesis 49:10 was obviously before that, it was promised that through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. But in Genesis 49:10, he says, "The scepter shall not be taken away from Judah, nor a ruler from his thigh, till he come that is to be sent, and he shall be the expectation of nations." Okay, so appreciate this prophecy. It was promised that they would have a guaranteed ruler, king of Israel, from the tribe of Judah. Yet, as you know, Herod was not a Jew. He was he was not at all Jewish. He was the son of an Idumean and an Arab mother. And so that's why there's this great expectation of where is the Messiah, because our Lord doesn't lie, and now we do not have a son of Judah on the throne. So the Messiah must be here somewhere. Herod, obviously aware of these prophecies, seeks to kill the child, knowing that the time is up. Likewise, we on the 23rd then, we lastly contemplate, O Emmanuel, our King and our Lawgiver, the hope of the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord our God. Okay? That the Messiah would be, in fact, God himself, was likewise prophesied by Isaiah, who said, as you know from Handel's Messiah, and which forms the introit for our Christmas Mass, "For a child has been born for us, a son given us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So that he would be not only a prince, a king, but an everlasting father and the mighty God himself. And so, you know the prophecy of Isaiah, that behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, which is exactly what is then cited by St. Luke in the words of the angel, that she will conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus, meaning God with us, but as the Lord himself who saves us. And so, when we finish the contemplation of these antiphons, as I'm sure you've been meditating on the scriptures more during this time of Advent, as prophecies are only fully understood in their fulfillment, when we get to the end and we look back at all these prophetic titles, we see, as an acrostic in the first letter of each title in Latin, from Emmanuel and Rex, etc., we see that it spells Ero Cross. I will be tomorrow, that I will be present among you tomorrow. So he comes, and he, as he will come on Christmas Eve night. And now we only ask ourselves, as we contemplated their 4,000 years of waiting and expecting, are we now ready to receive him, right? Do we want God to be with us? Do we want a lawgiver and a king to rule over us? Many in our Lord's time decided they did not. They did not want this man to reign over them. They didn't want someone above their conscience telling them what to do. Do we want a savior? Do we want to be saved from our sins? Do we want to leave this life, this passing life? It's been our whole Advent preparation, and we have but a few days. Let us prepare ourselves now to receive him, for as he will tell us then on the 23rd, tomorrow I will be present amongst you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.